Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
Records being set every day in these very extreme times we live in. Monday Night Football this time.
Oh, I thought you were talking about floodwaters.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that? Over 1,000 roads closed due to flooding in North Carolina?
Yeah. This is and the floodwaters are still rising along the South Carolina coastline and in North Carolina. And they still have cities, Wilmington and New Bern particularly, completely cut off. We're talking about thousands of residents, thousands of homes that are still flooded.
Mm. It's unfortunate. It really is.
Well, it's all Trump's fault, you know.
Yeah, well, we know that.
You know, every bit of this is his fault because, we just know.
Right. And you can see why.
Yeah, of course. It's obvious.
It is. Totally. I mean, we don't even have to talk about it. No, we don't, because everyone knows.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday Night Football posts the lowest Week 2 ratings ever recorded. Now, listen.
Because I didn't watch.
Oh, yeah. And you and your wife, that would have been too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It is so weird for, you know, I have, I've known my husband for over 15 years, been married to him for a while. I have never seen him. I mean, you know, I've even said, you know, when I started here, football season is different in our house.
Right.
Because he kind of checks out in terms of, like, you know, what we all watch together in football, like on TV, right? He's big into the football. So I end up getting into football because I can't help it. Because it's on in the background all the time. He's into it. He's talking to his friends about it. So I end up, by the playoffs, I'm all into it. And it's not my thing. But just being around it, that's how big of a deal football was in his life. It is so weird to me to see him during football season. And, you know, I'll bop on downstairs and he's, you know, watching his second favorite, which is like these true crime mysteries, you know?
Right.
Like those shows about like true crime and, you know, whatever. That's his second favorite. He's watching that during football season. He never watches that during football season. He will record them to watch after football season. He's not watching football. There's no football in our house. It is the weirdest thing. I never thought there would be anything that could get my husband to give up football. But he's not into it. I mean, he's not into it. So really interesting. Apparently, he's not the only one. Monday Night Football posted the lowest Week 2 ratings ever recorded. Granted, it was not the most interesting match. But still, there are always not the most interesting matches in NFL. This is, again, this was Seahawks versus Bears Week 2. The second lowest recorded Week 2, second previous low ever, was 2016, which is just amazing. You know, given modern technology and the reach and the fact there's so many ways to watch this now. Whereas, you know, there weren't necessarily before. I mean, so to see this is just, I don't know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be you had to watch television. Now you can watch your phone, your iPad, your PC.
You watch it wherever you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And there are fewer people watching, so.
There you go. Yeah, so and apparently blind hatred of the cops is not a good marketing message after all.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who would have ever guessed that one?
Never have thought it,
no,
would you?
No, wouldn't have thought it at all. Okay. Meanwhile, have you seen this new study? This is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating. They studied, okay, have you ever seen an electoral map of the country?
Oh, yes.
And it really looks like the country is really more than one country. I mean, the country is so polarized and so divided.
Right. Yeah.
That's what fascinates me about this study. They took a look at how people tend to concentrate in cities in the United States, because you hang out with people who are like you, right?
Right.
You identify with them, whatever. Okay. And this is the biggest ever study done. They looked at over 1.5 million personality quizzes taken by people that, you know, psychologists use to determine personality types. And they found that people are concentrating in cities according to four personality types. You want to know what they are?
Yes.
See, this is interesting.
Look on the edge of my seat here.
Yes, you should be. Look for the theme here. Every one of these personality types, there is a maturity theme here. There's four of them. There's average people. This was the biggest group. These people tend to score high in neuroticism and extroversion, but low in openness. It's the most typical category, with women being more likely than men to fit into it. Okay, but before we go any further, let's talk about, like, real quickly, neuroticism. What is that? I read this, and this reads like a definition of what the Democrat Party runs on. What is it? Worry, fear, yeah. Anger, frustration, mm-hmm. Envy, jealousy, and guilt.
Identity politics.
Identity politics. And the biggest part of the identity politics of the left is the envy and jealousy. That is what they play to. What the Democrat Party and the whole liberal philosophy is one big promise to get back at everybody who has ever done better than you in life. Mm-hmm. That is all it is. They don't even promise they're going to raise you up anymore. It's we're going to get back. We're going to squish it. We're going to quash them. We're going to take the crumbs back. We're not going to let the corporation succeed. We're not going to have any success. You won't have to feel any psychological pain anymore about not having success, whatever that is as defined by you. Everybody who's ever had their nose twisted on the playground is going to get theirs. That is what the Democrat Party is. That's what it is a psychological panacea. It is not a political movement. Okay, now that's the definition of neuroticism: anger, frustration, envy, jealousy, and guilt. Okay, the four personality types that tend to congregate together in cities. Let's go back and look at it again. Average: these people score high in neuroticism and extroversion, low in openness. The most common category, with women being more likely than men to fit into it. Okay, reserved. This type of person is stable emotionally with, and think about, where do you fit in this? This type of person is stable emotionally without being especially open or neurotic. They tend to score lower on extroversion, but tend to be somewhat agreeable and conscientious. Then there's role models. These people score high in every trait except neuroticism. And the likelihood that someone fits into this category increases dramatically as they age. Why? You get more mature. These are people who are dependable and open to new ideas. These are good people to be in charge of things. Women are more likely than men to be role models as well. Interesting. And then self-centered. These people are very high in extroversion, low in openness, agreeableness, and conscientiousness. Most teenage boys would fall into this category.
You'd think.
But will eventually mature out of it. The number of people who fall into this category decreases dramatically with age. This is all about maturity. Think about what's neuroticism: anger, frustration, envy, jealousy, guilt, all of that kind of stuff. These are the people who are clustering together in cities. Now look at the map.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of dependence.
Dependence?
I think that you have not dependence as in tax deductions and kids, but dependence. In other words, you have a tendency to depend on others or for convenience or...
See,
I'm not trying to disparage folks who choose to live in an urban setting. I'm just simply saying to me, it seems like that people who are willing to give up their independence and their self supportiveness are wanting to move into the city areas where you're closer together, you're near certain things that you think you may need or want on a regular basis. Whereas I'm one of those that is very independent. I could care less, and this is not disparaging any particular person, but I'd like to be off out by myself where I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, without interference from anybody else. And if I need something, I'll go get it. I'm not worried about somebody bringing it to me or being nearby within hand's reach every second of the day.
That is so fascinating what you just said about dependence. You don't want anybody to take care of you. You just want to be left alone.
Yeah. As you will see on my T-shirt on many occasions, don't tread on me.
And leave me the heck alone.
Exactly.
And stay off my lawn.
And if you need some help, let me know. I'll be more than happy to do anything I can to help you out.
See,
but
I would
just stay off the yard, keep out of my pasture, and we'll be fine.
I would put you in the role model category along with my husband. People are dependable. They're open to new ideas. They're good people to be in charge of things. They're not neurotic, yet they're open. That is a maturity level. That is the category people tend to mature into. And so literally, when you have the breakdown now of these four personality types, because we have all this data we didn't have before, because they're getting this from online personality quizzes. So people are volunteering to be test subjects, right?
Right.
We're finding these personalities basically break down along maturity and dependability.
But what if you have certain segments of society that don't want to participate in those surveys? To me, then they're being undersampled.
Ah, I got it. Yeah, you're probably right. I bet they are undersampled. And that's why average is the most obvious category, the biggest category. Neurotic and all that kind of stuff. Interesting that they all tend to glom together, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So think about what a different worldview you would have if you're a role model personality or reserved personality versus an average or self-centered personality.
Mm-hmm.
Massive difference in world. You blame everybody. Nothing is your fault. You want everything done for you because you're a victim. Well, the Democrat Party has isolated those two, liberalism anyway, has isolated those two personalities, traits, those two personality types out of the four. And they're gearing an entire political philosophy to them. And it's becoming so intolerable to, the four different types to be together that we're segregating, like oil and water. I just don't know how a society holds together when you got that level of difference. You know what would be interesting to find out too, Lee? The rate at which people are transitioning from self-centered, which is what a child is when they're born, to role model.
Yeah.
And how on earth could a role model and a self-centered ever have anything in common? They couldn't. They couldn't. That's why you see we live in two different worlds now in this country. Texter writes, Lee's dependence talk was epic rant worthy. Well said. Oh, well, thank you. Texter writes, neurotic people won't self-identify as such. Another texter writes, Tara, please assuage my fears. Senate confirms Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, and the Democrats spin it before the midterms. Those mean old men confirmed another mean old man accused of sexual assault. We have to get rid of mean old men by voting for people like Ocasio-Cortez, so says Kim in Malta. That is exactly what the Democrats are looking at, Kim. Now it's a win-win for them. Again, this comes down to math. It takes about 60 days to put together a confirmation of a Supreme Court justice between, six FBI investigations that they've already done, over 1,000 questions submitted to Kavanaugh and answered, all the background documents provided and reviewed by Congress, all of that kind of stuff. It takes about 60 days. And so if they can scuttle this one, then they have the best talking point ever to get the masses to the blue wave masses to the polls, which is a Supreme Court nomination hangs in the balance. We've gotten rid of Kavanaugh. They can't confirm anybody else before the election. They don't have time. So guess what? I mean, they are using this to try to get, and if they don't have to peel off a lot of votes. I mean, you got Flaky Flake. You've got Susan Collins and one other female there. You could peel those off and they'd be done for. And so that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to give these Republicans that would love to try to stab Trump in the eye, if they could legally get away with it, a chance, cover, not to vote, to confirm Kavanaugh. Because if they can pull that off, folks, this is a simple message for the left. If you don't get out and vote in the midterms, man, they're going to take away your abortion. They're going to do that. But you can stop Trump's Supreme Court nominee if you vote. This is what it's all about. This is simple political strategy. Have you heard how bad this is now, by the way? How outrageous this is? Take a listen. Let me just run this through. This is what we've gotten since yesterday, okay?
The attorneys for Christine Blasey Ford initially said she was prepared and willing to testify that she was sexually assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh more than 35 years ago. But now they say she won't testify until the FBI investigates the allegations.
If the senators who have come forward and said they want to treat this seriously mean that, then they'll have an investigation. She's not prepared to talk with them at a hearing on Monday. There shouldn't be a rush to a hearing.
See the delay. Yeah, this is about votes. This is about a midterm magnet to get the Democrats voters to the polls to take back the Senate. It's brilliant. I got to give it to them. It's brilliant. So here is what Christine Ford is saying. I accuse this man of doing an awful thing to me, but I'm not going to show up into public to testify against him. Oh, and by the way, I'm not willing to go under oath. But I will testify if you do a prolonged FBI investigation, but not until then. Oh, and if you don't hear from me, then you're slamming the door on a woman and you don't care about what? About women. You don't care. You don't care that I was a crime victim. You better hear from me, but I'm not going to testify. So you do what I want. It's a hostage situation.
Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee scheduled a hearing for Monday for both Ford and Judge Kavanaugh to testify, but Ford's attorneys say an investigation will ensure that the crucial facts in the case are assessed in a nonpartisan manner. Well, Chairman Chuck Grassley is pushing back on that, saying in a statement, Dr. Ford's testimony would reflect her personal knowledge and memory of events. Nothing the FBI or any other investigator does would have any bearing on what Dr. Ford tells the committee, so there is no reason for any further delay.
By the way, she now won't say with certainty what year it happened in or where it happened. Let's get straight. Won't go under oath. Can no longer vouch for the year exactly in which it happened. And also is no longer clear on where exactly it happened. But she knows it happened.
Now, a federal law enforcement official tells Fox News it is totally inappropriate for someone to demand a federal investigation into 35-year-old allegations when Blasey Ford won't go under oath and can't remember key details such as when or where the alleged assault occurred. But Democrats are also now demanding an investigation and a delay on Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation vote.
Keep in mind, half the country isn't being told any of this. They won't hear that woman because they're sexist. Yeah, as Senator Mazie Hirono explained, all you guys, man, you just a bunch of sexist. You hate women anyway. Take a listen.
Guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change. Okay, you can see I'm a little upset by this, you know, the unfairness of it.
So we should give up our nominee, take the risk of never appointing another Trump nominee to the Supreme Court, give them a talking point for the midterm. Oh, and we're required to believe her when even Dianne Feinstein, the senator who brought her forward, isn't sure if she believes her. Listen to Feinstein yesterday.
This is a woman, and I really believe, who's been profoundly impacted by this. Now, I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know.
Huh. I don't know. I don't blame me. She could be lying. How do you know it's profoundly infected her if you don't know if she's telling you the truth? That's like the flakiest thing I've heard anyone say in like a month. Oh, except what Joe Biden said. Yeah. You thought you were deplorable? Oh, no. No, no, no. You are so much worse. So much worse. Wait till you hear what Joe Biden thinks of you. This topped what Hillary Clinton said. What do they really think of you? Can you imagine someone on our side saying something like this? This is Joe Biden on how you're not just a deplorable if you voted for Trump or support anything he thinks or says or wants to do. You are a dreg of society. Take a listen. He'll explain.
These forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. There are a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society.
Yes, you're not just a deplorable. You're a dreg. Here's the longer version of this. I want you to hear the beginning of it.
These forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. There are a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. And instead of using the full might of the executive branch to secure justice, dignity, safety for all, the president uses the White House as a literal bully pulpit. Callously exerting his power over those who have little or none.
So they got to go out and get to dregs. That's you and I. They got to go out and get to dregs. And I don't even got into what Hillary's saying. She is out there all over the place. And they run this day in and day out. They just change the face that delivers the message. Trump is trying to effect a coup on the country. He is. And he's tearing it. He's willing to destroy the FBI and the Department of Injustice. Just... to get away with his crimes. They don't say what those are. They never do because they don't know. But it sounds good. And so they literally are being weaponized. They think their country is being taken from them by a president who's an authoritarian and becoming more so every day. I mean, he thinks he can take apart the Department of Justice, the FBI, these good people doing good work, occasionally committing fraud, but we won't talk about that. And they're just trying to stop the coup. And you're the only one who can go out there. That's a pretty strong talking point. But an even better talking point is we managed to scuttle the Kavanaugh appointment to the Supreme Court. There's not time for another one. So guess what? If you go out and vote and we take the Senate, Trump will never get another Supreme Court nominee again. So they literally think, you know, you would literally have them marching to the polls like zombies thinking they're saving abortion for all time. That's why it's so critical to scuttle the Kavanaugh appointment, because there isn't time to put anybody else through, and they know it. That's why Dianne Feinstein had this the whole time, waited, Senator Feinstein waited. We're having hearings. People can submit questions. Everybody does. He answers over 1,000 questions. She says nothing. Not a peep. Not a word. Waits till the hearings close. And then it's like, excuse me. Here's a good example of what, here's a good roundup of what Feinstein did.
Vote should happen on Thursday. Otherwise, it's an abuse of the process. If you understand that Senator Dianne Feinstein had this information in July, if these were credible allegations, why did she do nothing with them for 6 weeks? Why did she hide the allegations from her colleagues? Why did she not use the process to talk about it? There were two background calls before the hearings with Judge Kavanaugh began. There were opportunities for Dianne Feinstein to meet with Judge Kavanaugh and talk with him. Judge Kavanaugh sat before the American people and the Senate for 3 days with 32 hours of hearings. There was a closed door session where his six background checks by the FBI were talked about. After the hearings, there were 1,300 questions that were submitted to him to respond to. Not a single one of those questions related to these allegations. So this has all the hallmarks of an 11th hour character assassination by the Democrats. They're not respecting the process. And if the allegations were credible, then they would have been raised long before this. It's been a month and a half since these allegations were.
Yeah, brought forward. It's a game. It's a silly, silly game. Let's see what the people think about it, though. All right, to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Hey, Uncle Joe. What about fighting for justice, dignity, and safety for Molly Tibbetts? Oh, yeah. Too late. Texter writes, whenever a pedophile calls me the dregs of society, I know I'm on the correct side of the issue. And Joe's awfully touchy-feely. Republican would never get away with that creepy stuff. Texter writes, how many votes did Trump get? The dregs percentage must be much higher than Biden gives it credit. I thought that too when I heard it. Texter writes, Joe Biden, really have I heard a bigger hypocrite? You know, this is a guy, he's a compulsive liar. I mean, in a sick, twisted way. You know, his wife was tragically, and his daughter, his small daughter, was tragically killed in a car accident. Which is terrible. We don't wish that on anybody. I hate that that happened. But Joe Biden, when Obama was running for president, got a warning letter from the attorney of the family of the guy who was in the car that hit her. Because he was running around telling an old set of lies again. He tells a lie that the guy who hit her was drunk as a skunk, blew a stoplight, plowed into his wife, and, you know, it was just this terrible tragedy. He wasn't drunk. They tested him. She plowed through a stoplight. He was the car that hit her. It was unfortunate. He wasn't drunk. And Biden has alternately, throughout his political career, stopped and started telling that lie again. And so when he begins to lie about it again, the family has to send him another note. Please stop this. The facts are really well documented here. You know, Dad was not drunk. You're smearing our family again. We're getting death threats again. People are hunting us out. Stop lying. You want to talk about a dreg of society? I mean, to lie about your wife and daughter's death like that? To tar a person who has been completely cleared by the authorities, was never charged because he did nothing wrong other than being in front of his wife's car when she, you know, tragically ran the stop sign. We've all made a mistake like that. No blame on her. terrible thing that happened. I hate it. But what kind of individual does that? His wife and his daughter. I mean, that is the level of twisted, mentally twisted. This man who calls you a dreg of society. I mean, could you imagine if a Republican candidate for office made up an easily debunkable story about how a drunk driver killed his wife and toddler daughter and then accused the driver of it again and again? You know, tarring him with what is libel? I mean, it is the grace of that family they haven't sued his pants off. That's who Joe Biden is. He is not mentally well. He's not. He is a compulsive liar. He's got a problem. He was the vice president of the United States of America because that's how well the media is able to cover. This is who is calling you a drag of society, which means you're on the right side. You're doing it right. You got it right. You got it figured out. Texter writes, if we know it's blatant character assassination and Democrats know it's blatant character assassination, then where are Republicans stepping up to stop the stupidity? I'm not sure which is worse. Yeah, I'm not either. It's incredibly frustrating. This is where we are for those of you just tuning in on this. And you know what this is? In addition to everything else, this is an attempt by the Democrats to give the FBI, to really include them as a fourth branch of government, to give them they've already got a veto over the presidency that they're allowed to have and operate. We don't like somebody, we'll just destroy them. Now they're talking about a veto over the Supreme Court. Well, we can't move forward till the FBI weighs in, folks. This is exactly what I told you would happen. Trump said this the other day. He said, listen, the Mueller investigation is a naked attempt to influence the midterms. And what have I been saying? I've been saying they would do that in the midterms, bringing all of these, you know, the charges forward, the indictment, timing them the way that they are. We will never be free of them for a single election. Every candidate who disagrees with the Uniparty, every person who represents someone who disagrees with the Uniparty will be completely vetted by the FBI. And so now they're demanding this. Why? They don't fear an investigation by the FBI. Now, the FBI said, no, we're not going to do it. It's not that they don't want to. They are a goon squad. I mean, they are a highly politicized organization that no longer exists for the purposes of law enforcement and will not until the top layer, the top echelon at least is cleaned out, maybe all the way down to the middle management. Christopher Wray, I'm sure, would be eager to do this. The problem is they're already in enough trouble with this FISA stuff coming out. They can't be in the middle of vetting a Supreme Court justice. Excuse me, terrorizing a Supreme Court justice, persecuting a Supreme Court justice nominee when this FISA stuff hits and they know it. Speaking of the FISA stuff hitting, did you hear Hillary Clinton has come out? She's terrified. She should be. This is what she's saying about the idea of releasing the FISA document. Keep in mind, we're just talking about everybody knowing the truth. This is how this is being spun, exactly as I told you it would be in left wing, that is to say, mainstream media. Here you go.
These authoritarian tendencies that we have seen at work in this administration with this president, left unchecked, could very well result in the erosion of our institutions to an extent that we've never imagined possible here.
He's declassifying all this stuff, letting you see what's going on so you can judge. That's authoritarian now.
And her attacks didn't stop there. Clinton also claiming that the key to stopping the president's agenda is Democrats winning back either the House or Senate.
If we ignore the importance of this midterm election and there is no check and balance, we don't take back one or both of the houses of Congress, then I think you will see even more of the dismantling of our institutions.
Dismantling. By the way, here's Lindsey Graham weighing in on why they don't want that FISA stuff out that Trump wants to declassify.
Senator Lindsey Graham says he's a big fan of this move by the president. Listen.
All I can say, this is the most corrupt thing I've ever seen in my life. If the shoe were on the other foot, if the FBI agent liked Trump and hated Clinton and they got a dossier paid for by the Republican Party, it'd be front page news everywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.